long-winded minister was preaching a sermon one day, and in the middle of the sermon, his head deacon got up and walked out the door. Perturbed the pastor a little bit, so he decided he was going to get to the bottom of what was going on. So the next week, the beginning of the service, he asked him, he said, what happened last Sunday? He said, where'd you go? He said, I went to get a haircut. The minister was even more perturbed because he went to get a haircut. He said, well, couldn't you have done that before the service? He said, I didn't need one. Oh, well. Cindy thought last week's was bad. Have you ever thought when we talk about heavenly rewards, what they are, what they might involve? What does victory really afford us? What does victory really offer us? And there was several thoughts as I was thinking about that idea today, and this message will really conclude the series on Who Am I in Christ. We're going to start a series next week on prayer, which I talked to Sally about when she was telling me about the topic of their Sunday class. But what, when we think about that, what are some thoughts that cross through our mind? What are some things that go through us? And one of the thoughts that went through my mind is something that was said in the Old Testament, that obedience is better than sacrifice. It's a lot more rewarding to be obedient than it is to have to make some type of sacrifice for something, and that's what they had to do in the Old Testament. Is it better to honor someone, or is it better to obey them? What's the best when you look at that? Who really in the whole scheme of things is victorious? If I'm victorious, what do I get out of it? What do I get out of this victory? What awaits me? What's there? And so the passage that Debbie read early this morning starts out with an interesting passage, and this is not just for Olivia or Gabrielle, it's for all of us. When he said, children, obey your parents. It really comes out of one of the Ten Commandments. Found in Exodus 12, it said, "And honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God is giving you." He's giving us those days. I was sharing in the class this morning that I heard some minister this morning talk about the age that people die most, and it was 1 year old. It's the largest number of people that die, babies that are less than a year old. And that's worldwide, and the point was brought up this morning, I think, appropriate so, that when we look at third world nations and we see a lot of starvation, we see a lot of things going on, disease, that we can understand that. But that promise and that commandment was the one that came with a promise, and it was the first one that was ever said that they had a promise to it. All the rest of it was thou shalt not. But this one said, honor your mother and your father that your days may be long. And I think it's an interesting word when we take a look at that word honor and really what's it mean. It means say good things about your parents. Brag on them. I know as I look around, that might be difficult for, you know, for some people, that we look, not you, Olivia, that we think about what our parents did to us. But yet there's no conditions put on it. It says, honor that your days may be long. Just never talk bad about them. Be polite to them. I think it's interestingly enough that when we think about this whole aspect of when we do not honor our parents, we are disobedient to what God has said, because he said to honor him. I can't remember disagreeing with my mother, although I'm sure I did. I can remember her telling me everything that I should do and never anything that I shouldn't do. And I remember my dad being just the opposite. He was about the most complacent person in the world when it came to telling someone what they shouldn't do. Yes, I could say he was maybe more of an encourager, because he would tell you, and you know, if you're doing something right or doing something that they thought was, he thought was right, then he would encourage you. But very seldom did my mother, she was not much of an encourager. And I'm not talking bad about her if I say she was a discourager. But we learn a lot from that. And a footnote in my New Living Translation said, I don't care if you like them, do not dishonor them. And I thought that's an interesting quote, an interesting note, that we may not like what we went through, but it says that we honor our parents. And it's something that Paul said there. And he said this to the parents. That he said that we should, as parents, nurture our children. One of the rewards of nurturing our children and disciplining them, which is a word that none of us like, that discipline helps us grow to be righteous people. Whether it's parental discipline, or whether it's discipline from God, it's still something we have to do. And discipline is done out of love. I talked to a woman this week whose 16-year-old daughter had overdosed on 50, I think it was Tylenol, 500 milligram pills. And she's in the Linder Center right now. She doesn't love her daughter any less. But she said, I tried to do the same thing. I tried to commit suicide myself. And so when we think about parents, and we think about our children, they are our children forever. Sometimes you have to untie the apron strings a little bit each day. Sometimes that's a little hard, and that's sometimes a tough thing to say. But when we do something wrong, and when we are disciplined, Jesus never takes us to the woodshed, so to speak. He never condemns us for what we've done, but he loves us back into doing what he wants us to do, and that's one of the benefits of being a Christian. Debbie read this today, but I want to take a look at the three verses in Ephesians. It said, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. And in the power of his boundless might, put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. And this is the important verse that we need to take out of here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is from the Amplified, and in parenthesis it says, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. We talked about Daniel this morning in class and how he was on a three-week fast. It said he didn't eat meat. Meat didn't pass his lips. Wine didn't pass his lips. He used no fragrant lotions or anything during that three-week fast. But he was standing on the banks of the Tigris when this angelic being came to him and talked to him, and he said that he had been, wait, let me rephrase it. They haven't had heard Daniel's prayer the first day of those 21 days. But he had spent 21 days getting through the spiritual forces that he was battling, and only got through it because Michael, the angel, came and helped him out. Our battle is not against broken bones. Our battle is not against poverty. Our battle is against a spiritual being called Satan, an evil spiritual being called Satan. And I just wish, and I hope that we can somehow grasp that idea that our battles are spiritual. And when we can deal with it spiritually, everything else comes into place. And I talk about that a lot, I know, and you're probably saying, okay, time for a different subject. But it's really what it is. And if Daniel had the battle, we're going to have the battle. People battle health, they battle finances, they battle relationships, they battle domestic violence. They battle social injustices. They battle, addictions. They battle issues at work. They battle bosses. And those are spiritual battles that are taking place in a physical world. But they're spiritual battles that are going on. And when Paul says, and Debbie read, to put on the full armor of God, he says, stand up against all the schemes and strategies and deceits of the devil. And he said, when all else fails, do what? Stand. Don't give up. Because we were and we are and we will continue to be victorious. And I think when he's talking about arming things, you know, when we look at Paul's life and a lot of the stuff that Paul wrote to us, he wrote from a dungeon, and his circumstances at that time were not the best, being in prison, being in chains. But his circumstances changed because of his faith in a God that would deliver him. And I don't know how many times that I've said, and I really believe it, life is 10% circumstances and 90% attitude. 90% spiritual attitude that I'm gonna fight through this. And I read this story today this week, and I thought it was really interesting. It was talking about a time in the early times of the Iraq War back in 2003, and there was these ground forces that had secured this bridge, and they had no way of getting through there, and there was this A-10 fighter pilot, and it says she was then a captain, her name is Kim Campbell, and they called and asked her to provide air support, and I thought it was interesting. They said her call sign, Killer Chick. I thought that was interesting. But she was deployed and made a direct hit on this bridge. And so anyway, the story goes on to say that returning from the attack there, that her A-10 had sustained some serious damage, and the jet rolled left, pointed toward the ground, and she said nothing that she did worked. Said she had lost all the jet's hydraulics, and at that point, she flipped the plane into manual reversion, still without steering. She flew the jet, it said, more than 100 miles back to the base in Kuwait. And it says that she became just a handful of people to land an A-10 manually. And it goes on to say that Lieutenant Campbell was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for her efforts. And she got rewarded for what she did. But God's rewards are even greater. greater opportunity, greater responsibility in the kingdom, the opportunity and the ability to experience God himself. And when I was praying this morning, I was thinking, we need that vision that causes our heart to share that with other people. Christians should push each other to do their very best. Too many people live in isolation. Too many people live in a state of frustration, of trying to satisfy what other people's expectations are of them, when it should be satisfying their expectations of themselves. And if they have low expectations, then they need to raise those expectations. But that's what we ought to do. I read an article this week, and it was referring to an article by a man by the name of Tony Long. And Tony Long wrote a book called Sink the Bismarck. And in 1940, the Germans had commissioned a ship to be built. And this ship that was to be built was built, and it was called the Bismarck. It was 825 feet long. The largest battlefield in the world at that time. It boasted 8 guns that held 15-inch rounds across, as well as 5 dozen armaments. It said the Bismarck's board targeting computer was precise, and it blew away the renowned HMS Hood of the Royal Navy. It said it destroyed it with a single shot. So, obviously, the Royal Navy was trying to figure out some way of destroying that themselves. And the Bismarck, as strong as it was, had one fatal weakness. What they had done is when they had built it, they had built this rudder, and the rudder was very vulnerable because they said it was located just beneath the thermal exhaust vent. So that says to me is no matter how strong we are, we all have a weakness somewhere. Something that Satan's trying to use on us. And it said in the darkness of night on May 24th, 1941, said that that Royal Navy had attacked the Bismarck and was firing upon it with no success until one torpedo hit that rudder. Sunk the Bismarck at its weakest point. And that's what can happen to us if we don't stay strong, if we don't live in victory. Satan can attack us through a lot of things, and he will. The key to knowing how to win a victory is to know who our enemy is. And our enemy is Satan. And I listed these, and then the situation came up last night. And the very first thing I listed was false religious teachings. And we were sitting around the table with probably 10 or 11 people. And someone said, you know, they were talking about being forgiven, kind of was what the general topic of the conversation was. And someone said, well, you can be forgiven for anything but one sin. And the thought went through my mind, well, if God will forgive this sin, why he should forgive this sin. And the individual asking it, and it was a great question, it was a great one, it was suicide. If we commit suicide, can we go to heaven? The answer to that question, in my opinion, is yes. There are people that go through stress in their life and struggles that they can no longer deal with it. We probably know people. One of my best friends in high school committed suicide because his girlfriend broke up with him. He was like 19 years old. My girlfriend broke up with me and I went and found another one. I mean, you can't let circumstances control us. We can't do it because it's such a small part of it. Unforgiveness and bitterness, foolishness and drunkenness, idle gossiping, lying, idolatry, involvement in the occult, drug and alcohol abuse, habitual severe sin. And I thought about that one. That's an interesting term when you stop and think about it. Because some people are bent to doing something wrong, and even if God forgives us and a person continues to do the same thing over and over and over, that I think can cost you your salvation. I think that can cost you a relationship with Jesus Christ, because we continue to say no to what he has directed us to change. And so anyway, in closing, there's a verse in Colossians. It's chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. J.B. Phillips' translation says it this way. You who were spiritually dead because of your sins and your uncircumcision, the fact that you were outside the law, God has now made to share in the very life of Christ. He has forgiven you of all your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by the nailing it over his own head on the cross. And having then drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated in his final glorious triumphant act. The good news is that we have a new identity in Christ. One of the things that, you know, and if there's unforgiveness in your heart, that's one of the things that really affect more people than anything, and sometimes we don't know it. And one of the things that we tell people in Grief Share is that you can still forgive someone that hurt you. They may not know it, but you freed yourself from that burden and that attack that Satan has on our lives. And some people live in, you know, they live out of victory because they are not free from forgiveness or free from anything. So I want to just pray today as we conclude the message and think about what might be, if there is anything, there may not be, but if there's anything there that's this kind of burdened you down, it's got a hold of you and you want to have it removed and free, just ask Jesus to do it and then ask for him and thank him for it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to live in victory, to overcome the things that Satan does to us, the way that he tries to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. He tries to kill, steal, and destroy our relationship with you, with our families, with our friends, with our co-workers. How one little word of gossip here or one behind-the-back comment over here, how that can destroy a life, how that can destroy a relationship. Fathers, we talked about honoring our parents, as we talked about children obeying our parents. If our parents are gone and there's some deep-seated maybe feelings or emotions or something there, and we ask in the name of Jesus to forgive those. Forgive us as we forgive those, as we prayed earlier, who have debts against us. Lord, help us to live in victory, live in peace, live the abundant life that you have created for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.